The End of Nature by Bill McKibben. The one-sentence summary. Our relationship with nature has changed irrevocably. What the book says. This book, first published in 1989, is regarded as a classic in the world of environmental thought. It was one of the first to articulate early warnings about climate for a broad audience. In 1957, the scientists Revel and Suess published a paper that showed that most of the carbon dioxide pumped into the air would stay in the air and warm the planet. They concluded that human beings are now carrying out a large-scale geophysical experiment of a kind that could not have happened in the past, nor be repeated in the future. While the story gradually built to include the depletion of the ozone layer, acid rain, and genetic engineering, the story of the end of nature begins with this greenhouse experiment and what will happen to the weather. In 1988, the American drought caused the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources to hold a hearing on the greenhouse effect. The main witness was Dr. James Hansen, who ran the NASA computer programs that predicted weather patterns. He stated emphatically that there was now only a 1% chance that the temperature increases seen in the last few years were accidental. He told the hearing, "It's time to stop waffling so much. It's time to say the Earth is getting warmer." Since then, nothing has been done, partly because the people doing the polluting are removed from the pollution, as the wind carries emissions thousands of miles and turns the problem into a global rather than local one. An idea or relationship can go extinct just like an animal or plant. The idea in this case is nature. It is the end of nature because the temperature and rainfall are no longer entirely the work of some separate, uncivilizable force, but are in part a product of our habits, economies, and ways of life. We have ended the thing that has defined nature for us, its separation from human society. The idea of wildness has outlasted the exploration of the entire globe. In our minds, nature suffers from a terrible case of acne or skin cancer, but our faith in its essential strength remains, for the damage always seems local. The greenhouse effect is an apter name than those who coined it imagined. The analogy is accurate because the carbon dioxide and gases act like a glass on a greenhouse, but it's more than that. We have built a greenhouse, a human creation, where once bloomed a sweet and wild garden. The defiant reflex occurs when humans insist that they can turn the working of all living things on Earth to their own particular advantage, through technology, genetic engineering, and so on. Shallow ecology accepts an anthropocentric worldview of the industrial state and wants merely to reform it, while deep ecology asks harder questions, such as, where are we from? What is our relationship with the rest of the world? And are we really at the apex of evolution? Many reject this because they believe it shows a deep insensitivity to human suffering. But sadly, the momentum behind our impulse to control nature may be too strong to stop.